Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to see each and every one of you here today as we come together to worship. And we want to begin our worship today with our Trinity Liturgy. Welcome home. And why are we here? Amen. I have a few announcements to get us started today. I want to point out a few things in your bulletins. As you can see, it's another busy and exciting time here at Trinity with a lot of different activities. A couple of things I want to point out. Today's Mission Box opportunity supports the Florida Annual Conference Bishop's Offering. Information about that in your bulletin as well. Also want to remind folks today, anyone that is working with VBS, today is the kickoff out in front of the Worship Center. So any of the participants, volunteers, those sort of folks, you can pick up your t-shirts and those sort of things out in front of the worship center between services today. There's still plenty of opportunities for you to volunteer and to get involved in Vacation Bible School. It is a tremendous opportunity for you to grow, but also to serve our youngsters in the area. So I encourage you to take advantage of that as you go through. And finally, I want to point out that we still have the opportunity to sponsor the Keepsake program for Sunlight. Sunlight's having their kickoff concert here on June 16th. I hope you mark that on your calendars as they prepare to go on tour to South Carolina. And they definitely encourage your support both in prayers but also financially through sponsorship. So please take an opportunity to do this. One final thing. In your bulletins, you should have found a small white card. The church is beginning to use a new software system, and we would ask you that you would complete this small card and turn that in to the ushers during the offering time. This is going to begin to start replacing the yellow sheets in the aisles there. So please take the opportunity to fill out one of these small white cards and to turn that in during the offering. If you would now please join me in a word of prayer as we begin our worship today. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together to worship and to praise you. Lord, prepare each one of us to be an active participant in this worship service, to be open to what your call is, whether it be through the words, through the sound, through the music, or just the presence of being here. Help us all to feel your presence in all that we do here today. In Christ's precious name, amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. Would you please stand and let's sing to the King.
We lift up the words of the Creed of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Have the joy of the sacrament of baptism, and Elizabeth, you'll lead us.
We would like to invite Jeff and Leilani and big sister Isabella to come forward for the baptism of Christopher Paul and also the Loman Kalev family, as well as the Oldegard family, to all come forward. Yes, you may come and stand around.
Yeah, maybe the family. Yes. Some of you come all the way from Texas, so come stand right down here at the front, and the immediate family will be right up here. Some of you may recall that back in November we began praying for Christopher Paul. Christopher Paul was born prematurely by 12 weeks. Yeah. Hand that mic to Jeff. Jeff, tell us briefly about that. Would you hold the mic close?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. Just wanted to let you know a little bit about our son. We found out about 5 months in that Pablo and Daisy were going to have their first grandson. And about 2 weeks later, we heard those terrible words that no family wants to hear. You know, your unborn child has a problem. He had a mass that was developing in his chest, and it was expanding as the fluid could not evacuate, and it pushed all of his organs together against his rib cage and things like that. So, you know, we started praying, thank God, and the Trinity family went to work praying for us, and on the day of his birth, we couldn't hold off anymore, and he was born with a mass the size of a pear in his chest, and the doctors gave him 25% chance to live for him to make it, and said most likely his heart would give out before they could get the mass out. And we learned two things that day. One, this kid is all heart. And two, God answers prayer. Mm. So thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Jeff, for sharing. I know that was not easy. And while we were in Israel with Daisy and Pablo and your sister over here, and you brought back some water from the Holy Land, I think. Would you like to pour it in, or you want me to? Or is she going to? You're going to hold it?
Yes, she's going to hold the
bowl. Oh, good. There you go. You hold the bowl? Great. So, let me offer a prayer over the water. God, we give you thanks for the gift of life, the miracle of life for this wonderful child. And we pray for the water. We give you thanks that it's been brought back from the Jordan River by family who prayed and prayed, and this church has prayed and prayed. So now we pray over the water and ask your blessings upon the water in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And I'll ask you these questions I think I may have asked you a few years ago with your daughter. Do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you? And do you promise, as God gives you grace, to lead a life that's pleasing to your children, will you? And will you rear both your children, but now specifically Christopher Paul, under the ministry of the church, so he can come to a relationship with the God who gave him life and who loves him forever? Oh, boy. Christopher Paul, we've been praying for you for a long time. Christopher Paul Lomongolab Odegaard. How do you say your last name?
You
said it. Oh, good. Christopher Paul, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you forevermore. Amen. Dear friends, this is our miracle child, Christopher Paul Lomongolab Odegaard. Welcome him, would you? And his grandparents, Daisy and Pablo, longtime members here, are going to sing a beautiful song.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel their pride and joy he gives. But greater still the calm assurance, an empty grave is there to prove the Savior lives.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. One day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's fight no more with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
And Daisy and Pablo, you have offspring in sunlight, don't you? Who are the grandchildren of? Oh yeah! Great job over there. And they've got your musical talent as well. Before Brian comes to lead us in our prayer, I wanted to mention a couple of things. The flowers in the narthex you may have noticed are from Eva Dimitrov's service that was here this past Friday, and we discovered there are two more preachers in our midst. Bridget Fleming did a great job speaking. Thank you, Bridget. And Jamie Betts, Eva's husband, was amazing. I don't know, is Jamie here this morning? Jamie, where are you? He's not acknowledging it. At any rate, really powerful. And then this Tuesday, one of our Trinity family, Glenda Good, her service will be here this Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Paul and your family, it's good to see you here. And some of you may know June Hallis. Her service will be Saturday at 2 o'clock in the chapel. Brian, thanks.
I encourage each and every one of you to keep those individuals and families and the persons listed on the screen in your prayers this week as we come together. Join me in a moment of prayer, if you would. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the knowledge that we have that you hear our prayers. And Lord, we thank you for the examples that you give us in those persons like Christopher Paul that, that shows us that you do hear and you do answer our prayers. Help us each to see that and to know that and to feel that in a powerful way, that we know that as we lift up these prayers, both joyful and those of concern, we know that you laugh and smile with us, and that you shed a tear with us as well in those times of sorrow. Lord, at this time, we once again lift up the victims of the tornadoes in Oklahoma as they were ravished again this past week. Lord, we can only imagine the despair, the hurt, the fear, the anger that these victims must be feeling. We ask that they feel your presence as well in a very powerful way. And help us to lift those up in our prayers. Near to home, Lord, we lift up all the school children and the teachers as this is a week of transition. As our public schools finish this week and we transition from a school year into a summer. Lord, may we use this transition as a time to connect. Not only to connect and reconnect with you, and to build our relationship with you, but to connect and reconnect with our families, with our neighbors, with our congregation, to use this as a time not to totally disengage, but a time to engage with you and what you're calling us to grow in our own life. Lord, we lift up the Vacation Bible School, the Sunlight Tour that'll be happening. We know these are great times, not only for missions of the church, but a time that we as a church can lift up each and every one of our children and youth, as this is a special time in their lives to help them grow, to see the relationship that you're calling them to have, and help see them as part of this congregation, and help them to feel our presence as they continue to grow. Lord, we lift up these and all those things that are on our hearts. And together with one voice, we lift up the words that your Son taught us to pray when we gather together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. A few our congratulations to our graduating seniors. A bunch of them graduated this past weekend. We're excited for you all. And I'd like you to stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and say, how about those Tim Walton and the women of the College World Series UF softball team? And yes or no, I did or did not stay up and watch it all. Greet the people around you, would you?
Special time, not only to give of our gifts, but also to be thankful for the giving of time and servanthood. We have 16 people going up for ASP here on a special build this week, on Saturday, to go from them. So again, keep those folks in your prayers as once again, we're reaching out not only to serve others, but to serve and to grow individually as we go through there. Let us pray. Dear gracious God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to give of our gifts, to rededicate ourselves to your service, Lord. We lift up each of these folks going on ASP, and we lift up this week's mission box of the annual conference bishop's offering and all the good that it does. Bless these gifts of financial and of service to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hello. Oh, hi. I'm Jasmine, and today Sunlight will be singing So Small by Carrie Underwood. This song talks about letting go of all the little things in our lives that are stressful to us, but in the big perspective seem so small. Whether it be losing your car keys or being late to a meeting, or maybe someone just made you feel like everything you do isn't good enough. The lyric, Don't run out on your faith, reminds us not to forget the promises and plans God has made for our lives. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." So if we all just trust God and accept that love and contentment is all that counts in the end of the day, all the little complications seem so small. Singing the solo today is Sarah DeLoach.
Just wanna give away what you got if you ain't got love. Can't let you just wanna give away. It's okay to open up. Go ahead and let the light shine through. I know it's hard on a rainy day. You wanna shut the world out and just be left alone. Don't run out on your faith. Sometimes that mountain you've been climbing is just a grain of sand. What you've been out there searching for forever is in your hands. And when you figure out love is all that matters after all, sure makes everything. Time, it's like a river that's so wide, swallows you whole. While you're sitting around thinking about what you can't change, worrying about all the wrong things, time's flying by, moving so fast. You better make it count, cause you can't get it back sometimes. Forever is in your
Wow. Thank you, Sunlight. Thank you, Sarah. I see the theme this year is climb. Is it from that song? Kind of? All right. Beautiful. Have you heard this cute story about a boy who was sitting like this and outside the grocery store waiting for his mom, and a man comes and sits down beside him and says, "Hey, can you tell me where the post office is? I'm new in town." And the boy said, "Yeah, you go 3 blocks down here and turn right, and it's right there." And the fellow says, "Yeah, I'm the new preacher in town, and in fact, I'd like you to come to church on Sunday, and I'll show you how to get to heaven." And the little boy looked up at him and says, "Oh, you don't even know how to get to the post office." I think going to heaven may go through the Holy Communion. I want to do a 3 or 4 part series on Holy Communion. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but let's read the scripture. These are Paul's words to the Corinthian church, to the church in general. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." That is, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. I've been losing sleep over Holy Communion for about 4 months. Now, bear with me. I'm going to have a sermon here, but I need to just share with you a little bit. Every night I wake up, sometimes with some anxiety, around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and during the day I wrestle and struggle around Holy Communion. Not about communion itself, its power, its sacramental value, its sacred presence of the living Christ, this gift of mercy and grace to us that we celebrate. It's not over that, it's how to serve and how often to serve Holy Communion here at Trinity. Over time, I've asked people, what we're going to do today is serve Holy Communion in the chairs. It's going to be served out to you. But you know, many of you know, unless you're just brand new today, is other Sundays we invite you to come to the altar to another station. And I've wondered if that works for everybody, and I have some discomfort if somebody else is discomfortable. I've talked to my clergy buddies, "What do you do?" And they've not been terribly helpful. Well, some say we have communion every Sunday in the chapel, but not in our regular services. Some say we have it in our regular services. Some don't. I talked to several of you. I've talked to the church council. And, like I say, it's just been exhausting in some sense. So that's why I want to do this 3 or 4 part series on Holy Communion beginning today for 2 reasons. One, in all my struggling and wrestling, I'm learning a lot more about it than I did know. Now, the good news is, at my age and stage, I'm still learning things. The bad news is, at my age and stage, you ought to have this part figured out by now. But I figure if I'm learning, chances are pretty good there's a lot more that many of you could learn, too, about Holy Communion, this central act of worship. How important it is to each of us and to the church. So, here's a little history of how I think we got here, at least this is my memory. 6 or 7 years ago, one of you suggested, "Why don't we serve communion at the end of the service?" Because that was meaningful to this person at another occasion, but it was in an evening service without following services afterwards. And I thought, you know, we have a lot of former Roman Catholics and Episcopalians and Lutherans, and John Wesley, being an Anglican, received Holy Communion as often as he could, sometimes every day of the week, and certainly every Sunday. So I said, "Wow, that's a great idea." So I would come in early on Sunday morning and pray over the elements, and we would offer them at the end of the service, and a few of you would come forward, and then more of you would come forward. And then I began to have a sense of discomfort about a lack of liturgy, of a time of confession, a time of thanksgiving, a time of participation in the liturgy itself. But would we have time to go through the whole liturgy or not every Sunday? And so this was my quandary. I wrote an abbreviated form that included the essential elements, and we've been using that, as you perhaps know. And then over time, it seems like a high percentage of people come forward for Holy Communion. And so here's my angst, my dilemma, my wrestling. I'm concerned for people, often people who've been here at Trinity for a very long time, who are used to having it served once a month, and who are maybe not as comfortable getting up and moving towards a station than others might be. I think here of my own mother. She probably would not like to get up and go to a station and receive communion. And like most of you, our mothers are still with us, aren't they, whether they're still alive or not. So I think of my mom, and for whatever reasons, out of her comfort zone, it wasn't a theological thing, it was a personal, sociological sort of thing. I just don't like to make people unnecessarily uncomfortable. Plus, I don't feel it's my prerogative as a pastor of this church to do something which makes for a very different Sunday morning experience for people who've been here a long time. So as you can see, I'm sorting this out. So now, this wonderful dilemma of lots of people who really genuinely love receiving Holy Communion every week, but my concern about those who for whom it's not a great experience. And then I've heard from several of you, one couple who worked in China for a number of years, and they, you know, they're the going to a Christian church is against the law, at least in many parts of China, but you can go to house churches sort of underground. But they started an Anglo church, and he said, we didn't know from one week to the next whether we were going to have the privilege of receiving Holy Communion, so we love it that we have Holy Communion because it became so precious to us. And my experience here at the altar is, as a pastor, just overwhelmingly wonderful and positive as I see people coming to the altar and for whom it's very, very powerful. One of you boldly said, don't you dare take away my weekly Holy Communion. Someone said, you know, my wife and I really appreciate the getting up, walking, meditating, receiving, kneeling, praying, our participation in it. Adam Lischer, the son of Richard Lischer, whose book I mentioned last week, whose son died at the age of 33 with cancer, he took Holy Communion every day and said it was the best part of his day. Or my friend Bob Bouchong, whom some of you know, he wrote to me and he said, every time I say the words, he's a clergyman, every time I say the words, this is my body, this is my blood, I choke at the privilege of being able to do that as a clergy person, but at the reality, my body, my blood. So, one other thing, as a preacher, I know I'm not good enough to connect with everybody on any given Sunday morning, but the body and blood of Christ is. It's the essence. And you don't really come to church for just good advice. We come for the presence of the living Christ, I think. On the other hand, I've talked to a dear charter member friend who says, you know, I'm just not sure what to do. For all my life, it's never been done this way. And I resonate with that. Or I prefer a quiet receiving in the pews as we all take it together. So that highlights the larger dimension, the spiritual dimension, that Holy Communion is a communal affair where we all participate. And so if some feel like not doing it or others, then I feel that disconnect. So over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I want to talk to you about Holy Communion, this sacred central sacrament. And today I want to focus on the meal, the table, the meal, the bread, the cup. This last week I talked about remembering, do this in remembrance of me. Today the importance of the meal in the Bible and in the ministry of Jesus. And I think you'll be surprised how often this occurs as we look at those meal scenes in Jesus' life and ministry and see that they teach us a lot about the Holy Meal or Holy Communion. But first, let me ask you this question. How many of you, when you're celebrating a graduation, maybe this weekend, an anniversary, a promotion, there's a meal involved? there's food. That's what we do, isn't it? Not because we need the nourishment, but because there's some other wonderful dynamic. I don't know fully what it is for festive times or for sad times. As Eva was nearing the end of her life, her friends from Tuesday morning and other ways were saying, can we provide the meal for the reception? Not that we needed the meal, but they needed to do it. And there was something dynamic going on. And the same people from Littlewood called and said, Paul, can we do the reception for Glenda? There's a meal. There's something sacred that happens there. Or the rehearsal dinner. Or the luncheon after the baptism. The celebration. Something more than going on than the molecules of proteins and carbohydrates and sugars and fats. Meals can be these sacred moments. And so it was in the life and ministry of Jesus. So let me just list several of these. And remember that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had to select from all the stories of Jesus, and they selected these particular stories after that last meal in the upper room and after the resurrection. And so I have a sense that they were reading back in or understanding the risen Christ in these meals. Here's just a few of these. Jesus ate and drank with sinners and outcasts, is what the Gospels say. Matthew and Luke both wrote this, quoting Jesus, that Jesus was saying, other people said this about him. Jesus came eating and drinking. Or this, Jesus, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. That was a big deal. And that was in Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 2. And that led Jesus to telling these three most beloved parables he ever told about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, saying, yeah, that's why I eat with and welcome and embrace sinners and outcasts. Look, a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners is what they referred to him as. And this, I believe, dear friends, is why we have an open table that's open to all. I used to think it was because we weren't like other denominations that limited it to only their members of their church. No, I think its roots are here. That the nature of the table was such that, just like Jesus welcomed all those rascals and outcasts and people like you and me, and welcomed us all. So the table is open. And I've wondered at times if Holy Communion were off-putting for a new person or a person who wasn't sure they believed or a person who might be an agnostic or an atheist. And from what I understand from Jesus, is, yeah, come on. Everybody's welcome, and we want to do it in a way that does that. Do you remember the story of the meal where it was talked about even sharing the crumbs with the Canaanite woman? Or Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come on down from there. I'm coming to your house today and we're going to have a meal. Or the parables of Jesus, often they center on meals. The yeast and the loaf, the seeds in the soil, grains of wheat. The father who had two sons, one went away and when he came back, he created a feast, a meal. Where they gathered and grace was given and forgiveness. It's all like communion. Or that prayer of prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Or the feeding of the multitudes. It's one of the few miracles in the Gospels that are in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was a miracle. And they were all fed and nourished as we are at communion. Or Jesus' final meal in the upper room, that last supper. And he took the bread and he took the cup and he used them to interpret his own death and his meaning of it. This meal brings us to that deeper meaning. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus speaks of the coming of the kingdom of God. As if it were a feast, a wedding feast, a wedding banquet. As God receives his bride, Israel, that Jesus receives his bride, the church. He told this story. There was a man who who threw a great feast and invited lots of people, and he heard nothing but excuses. Oh, I've just got married. Oh, I've just bought a piece of ground. And so he said, go out into the highways and the byways and invite them to come in to a meal. The meal reminds us of the kingdom of God. All are invited to eat. Now listen to this. The resurrected Jesus was recognized at a meal. On the way to Emmaus, those two disciples, joined by a third mysterious person whom they didn't know in Luke 24, and as they broke bread, here's how Luke tells it. When he was at the table with them, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And that's God's intention for every time we receive the bread and the cup. We recognize the presence of the risen Christ here with us to meet our every need, to challenge us to be present to us. The resurrected Jesus was recognized at another meal by the Sea of Galilee. After Peter said to the guys, "We're going fishing," they fished all night, they came in the morning and they saw this figure. And he created a meal of fish for breakfast. And Jesus took the bread and gave it to him, and they recognized him. Let me return quickly to the wedding feast, this kingdom language. In our communion liturgy, we look forward to the wedding feast. We say this, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Now listen to me. I think this is what it means. At least what some of what it means. When you and I receive the holy meal here, you are joined with those loved ones who've gone on before you. Communion. So that Paul, when you receive today, Glenda is here with you. When I receive today, my parents and others are here. Dear friends, there's more going on in this meal than we can even fathom, I believe. Oh, the beauty of Holy Communion. The evidence suggests that the early church received Holy Communion every Sunday. They couldn't wait to get together to receive the meal, offer prayers, read the Psalms, and hear the teaching of the apostles based on the Scriptures. That's what they did. But it was the bread and the cup that they encountered Jesus. The centrality of this meal, Christ present among them, this open table welcoming all. Less than 100 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, Justin Martyr in Rome tells us that Christians gathered on the first day of every week for the receiving of this holy meal, the bread and the cup. And they also, the first day of every week, was the occasion for gathering food for the hungry of the city, the orphans and the widows. And that may be why we take up an offering each Sunday for the prisoners and sojourners of every kind. Finally, Martin Luther said, the meal, the Eucharist, is one of the primary occasions in which God gives mercy to us so that we in turn might give mercy to our neighbors. Indeed, for Luther, one could not eat and drink of this sacrament without being brought to work and pray and fight for all who suffer in the world. This sacred meal, where we meet the risen Christ and are joined by all the company of heaven. Would you prepare your hearts now to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion as we turn to our liturgy and this wide open invitation to all of you. If you're here today and you're not sure what you believe or where you believe, the invitation is to you. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace. with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We've not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us, for you, while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you, dear friends, are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit on the night in which he gave himself up for us. He took the bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves now in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Brian, would you come and help me? We invite you, as I've said, if you're new to us, I hope you'll receive the invitation to receive the bread and the cup. If you by chance feel unworthy, thanks be to God, we are all unworthy, but it's grace that we're receiving. So we invite you to receive. This is the body of Christ. Take and eat.
The blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Praise be to God.
Almighty God, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your life-giving sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit, we give you thanks. Amen. Would you stand, if you're near someone, take their hand, if you would, and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.